Our scripture reading this morning from the letter of the Apostle Paul, the second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. Now we look inside, and what we see is that anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start, is created new. The old life is gone, the new life burgeons. Look at it. All this comes from the God who settled the relationship between us and Him, and then called us to settle our relationships with each other. God put the world square with Himself through the Messiah, giving the world a fresh start by offering forgiveness of sins. God has given us the task of telling everyone what He is doing. And then the key of this passage, our sermon for this morning, we are Christ's representative. We're Christ's representatives. God uses us to persuade men and women to drop their differences and enter into God's work of making things right between them. We're speaking for Christ Himself now. Become friends with God. He's already a friend with you. How, you say? In Christ. God put the wrong on Him who never did anything wrong, so we could be put right with God. And our second reading then from the very last book in the Bible, the book of Revelation, some call it an apocalypse, stories, visions about the end of times. And let me make it clear before we read this that many people have the impression that eventually we will leave this wicked, horrible old earth and there will be a beautiful isle of somewhere. Beautiful dream, beautiful hope. But that's not what Scripture says. Revelation 21, verse 1 through 5. I saw heaven and earth new created. Gone the first heaven, gone the first earth, gone the sea. I saw holy Jerusalem new created, descending resplendent out of heaven, as ready for God as a bride for her husband. And I heard a voice thunder from the throne. Look, look, God has moved into the neighborhood, making His home with men and women. They're His people. He's their God. He'll wipe every tear from their eyes. Death is gone for good. Tears gone. Crying gone. Pain gone. All the first order of things gone. The enthroned continued. Look, I'm making everything new. Write it all down. Each word dependable and accurate. Here ends our scripture readings. May God's Spirit touch, guide, and change us this very morning. Brother and sister in Christ, 2 weeks from today, we plan to hold a special service commemorating 9/11. Only 2 weeks from now, it will be 10 years ago that our lives changed forever. And one has to be blind not to notice to what extent 9/11 changed and are still influencing our lives. I was thinking of a way to explain this, and the best that came to mind is it is something of a downward spiral of terrorism and counterterrorism. War, increased religious division and hatred seem to be dragging the world deeper and deeper into darkness. Now, it is true that in response, there are efforts around the world realize what's happening with our world to stop the madness. And many are trying to analyze exactly what went wrong and why. In all our efforts from their side to turn the crazy tide and to save civilization for those coming after us. Now, one outstanding notable effort seeking solutions comes from the Club of Rome in April 1968, a small international group of professionals from the fields of diplomacy, industry, academia, and civil society met at a quiet villa in Rome, and that's where they got their name from. And there they initiated a global think tank and a center of innovation and initiative. And amongst them, world leaders, together scientists, economists, business persons, international high civil servants, heads of state, and former heads of state from all five continents to seek and to suggest solutions to the greatest problems of our world. Now, the results are amazing. Their discovery was that it was not pollution choking people across the world. It was not global warming causing so many bad things to happen. It was not even drought killing so many people malnourished. No, it was not even famine. All these international disasters boiled down to one single source. They didn't happen by accident. They didn't happen because they were preordained. The Club of Rome discovered after careful analysis that human intervention in creation is the actual cause of everything that went wrong and is still going wrong. So the unanimous finding was that there is something wrong with all humankind. And all of them agreed that our world's biggest problem is not the nature outside, but it is in the nature and depravity of us, you and me, as human beings. I was amazed to read what one of the reports said. We gossip, we demean, we hurt, we assassinate one another with our words, our attitudes, and our deeds. We hate, we destroy, and we are prejudiced against one another. We are looting the earth and its resources. We, us, no one else, are causing the gradual destruction of our world. Scary. I didn't think it up. That's what's happening, and that's the truth. In order to counter the hatred, in order to replace war and strife with peace and tolerance, tolerance of those different from us, we must begin at the source of destruction. And where is the source of destruction? It is deep within me. And it is as deep within you, each and every one of us. We must learn how to recreate human nature. There are factors determining your life and mine. Fact is, and that is a known fact, that we are governed from inside. We are governed by our very nature, our background, our environment, and our education. And that's true across the world. In a destructive, sad, pathetic way, we have indeed become the captains of our souls and the masters of our fate. And we are destroying the hope for a better world. We're destroying it from the inside out. What a grim picture. Couldn't the guy just have started with a little joke before saying all this? No, we need to look at the reality, because this is exactly where the power and the beauty of our Christian faith comes in. The final message in the book of Revelation proclaims a changed world indeed. A world where the distance that you and I have created between God and us will simply be no more. And that's so beautiful. What an appropriate for the last chapter of the last book in the Bible, where this John predicts. He says, look, God has moved into the neighborhood, making his home with men and women. See, they are his people. He is their God. And then comes the promise. He'll wipe every tear from their eyes. Death is gone for good. Tears gone. Crying gone. Pain gone. All the first order of things gone. That's the closing passage in the Bible. Now the Apostle Paul wrote to the first century community of Corinth, and he wrote in response to problems that had appeared not outside them, but in their own surroundings, in their own community, one of the first Christian communities ever. And those things happened while Paul was away on one of his travels. And the problems in that congregation of Corinth were significant, including divisions amongst themselves, divisions in the church, and there was a specific complaint that different members tried to usurp one another's authority, and some members even took other brothers and sisters to court, pressing ethical questions, public scandals, and disruptive and even chaotic behavior. Not talking about the world out there, talking about one of the first Christian churches ever to be. And Paul knew that the one problem that undergirds all others was that they never cashed in a check that they held. They never grasped the true nature of Christian salvation. It has been maimed, the message, in many different ways. Horrible to know and to read the history of how Christians through the centuries abused who we and are as Christians are called to be. And Paul came to the conclusion, there is very little point in proclaiming the resurrection of Christ unless you and I undergo a spiritual resurrection through Christ. Church membership was not going to do it for them. a true relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That's what makes you a Christian. Nothing else does. And Paul, so full of hope, he says, look, God has moved into the neighborhood, making His home with men and women. And I join the chorus of so many. This is a church prayed for. And one of my personal recurring prayers is, O God, reveal Yourself to us. Move in amongst us. Open our eyes. Give us a glimpse of the future with our God. Paul says, they are His people. He is their God. And that's the message of Scripture. Even today, you and I can exchange our hateful, harming, and selfish innermost self and become a new creation of Christ. That's what the Bible says. It was the message of salvation then. It's 2,000 years later. It is a message of salvation this very day. And it is as if one can still hear the words of Jesus still echoing through the ages of time. See wherever I go, wherever I'm received, I am making all things new. The Club of Rome had a point. No change will happen around us before a spiritual change has happened within us. Because in and through Christ, our lives together, says the Bible, will be a new creation of God. And oh, if the Spirit of God takes over amongst us, this beloved church of ours will be a beacon of hope. Where people do not only come to be pleased, but to be changed. Not by human beings, but by the presence of God's Spirit, making of us a new creation. Our words about the love of Christ are empty until we have become a new creation and live that love. And change begins in us through Christ. And from here, it spreads into the world as we begin to strive and pray and live as Jesus did. And that is where we return to the Lord's Prayer. Heart of our faith. God, let Your kingdom come. Let Your will be done here on earth, just as it is in heaven. So when and if God's kingdom comes on earth, God's will shall be our will. God's will and ours will not conflict. They will be in harmony. God's way shall become our way. And then Scripture will be fulfilled. Then God shall indeed live amongst mortals and wipe all tears from our eyes. And then we shall destroy each other no more. We shall destroy our beautiful world no more. Oh God, we pray, let it be. Let it be. Amen.